Sister.
Mom!
For goodness sake, Sisters of No Mercy.
Welcome to episode 13.
Episode 13!
We're still here.
Sisters of No Mercy.
So, yeah, it doesn't feel like 2 minutes ago since we were sat here doing it last week.
I know, Friday again, isn't it?
It's absolutely flown by.
Every week flies by. We've done this for, well, we've had a couple of, like, longer ones. I bet this is, like, 14, 15 weeks we've been doing this now.
I'm surprised we've kept it up so well.
Kept it going, no, but people are listening.
And we've still got things to talk about.
I don't think that's ever going to be a problem, is it?
No, I don't either. No?
So how's your week?
Yeah, good. I just want to apologise for the sound last week before we get started. Louise did put out an apology post on
Insta, on the gram.
Yeah, on the gram. But yeah, we've relocated today, so hopefully the sound quality is better and we're not blowing off your eardrums.
Yeah, but it was better on the when you listen to it on headphones, I think in the car particularly.
Yeah.
And then it's the fact that when we're talking to ourselves, we go a bit low.
And you actually told me an interesting fact about
the... Yeah. So, I found out this week that, you know, like Kim Kardashian talks in that way where she goes, oh, so, and it's very low. That's apparently called vocal fry.
Oh?
And it's a big thing in America. And apparently it's damaging teenage girls'
vocal cords.
Because they're all... talking like this, and the reason it's called vocal fry is that that noise means that it sounds like you're frying bacon.
Nice.
So it's supposed to sound like you're frying something, so you get after everything.
It's irritating, that's what it is. Yeah, so not anything else.
Stop vocal frying because people can't hear you when you vocal fry.
So, yeah, back to how's our week been? It's been actually a busy old week.
Yeah, busier than you think. You're just like that thing where you see people in the street and you go, oh yeah, what have you been up to? And everybody always goes, no. We always sit down and do that, don't we?
Oh, you go, yeah, I've been really busy, and you couldn't actually say anything that you've done.
Yeah, so actually this is quite good when we sit down and think about what we've actually done.
I said
done.
I don't think we've done much, and then we've
achieved a lot, haven't we?
We have. So back to last Friday, because it's Friday today, so a week ago, we made the brilliant decision to go swimming with the kids.
So a bit of context. So for us to decide to go swimming, it's a big deal.
It is.
Because for women especially, it's the hair, it's the shaving off the hair.
The prep.
It's the whole prep thing, getting the kids there, and then it's freezing.
You're freezing. You don't swim as a mum.
No,
do
it's
you?
Not
you
like you go up and down and do lengths and keep yourself moving and actually go for a swim. You're just like, yay!
Yeah. Can't wait till they're all over 8 and we can sit on the side of the pool with the tea.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But we're not there yet. So, you know, we got some mum points that we didn't decide to do cinema, which would have been far much. But one point we were, and then we got the guilt.
And we did. We got the guilt and we decided we were going swimming.
So, yeah, we got all the kids ready and we went over to Goole.
Which is, what, 40 minutes away for us?
Yeah, geography context there. About 40 minutes because it's a nice pool, isn't it? And it's cheap still, but, you know,
it's
clean.
Yeah, it's a council pool, but it's clean.
They have fun stuff on for the kids.
Inflatables, it has slides on, you know, it's worth the trip,
isn't it? Yeah, it is. So we got everybody ready and roped Dad in to come along with us. Did the brilliant thing of putting the kids in the car with Dad.
Yeah, we just dumped him, didn't we? We were like, you took the kids.
Kids going to Granddad's new car, bye! The new car, smell car. And we went to McDonald's beforehand, sat in the sun, had a lovely McDonald's, all of us. And then went to the pool, rocked up at the pool, and as we were walking in, the lady was like, are you here for swimming?
We're like, yeah.
Sorry, there's been an incident.
Incident, she claimed. An incident in the pool.
We've put it on social media. We've had to close the pool about an hour ago.
Oh, my word. So, incident in swimming pool terms...
is a shit in the pool.
Is a shit in the pool. Because I've seen a pool puke before. And they sieve it out, a pool puke.
It depends.
Depends on how big a honk it was.
It depends on the...
I've seen a mini honk. And they sieve it out and then disinfect and close that little bit off.
Yeah.
For a bit.
But, it's going to... Whatever it was, it's got to have been a doozy because...
Imagine if it were like a diarrhea trump or something. That must be a nightmare.
They've got a slide there. I've got in between us in my head, to be
honest.
Oh,
yeah.
Coming to get you.
So basically, our whole night was ruined by
it. We drove 40 minutes to have a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then went in the home bargains next door and I spent 50 quid. So
yeah.
It didn't turn out to be. I should have just gone to the cinema.
But yeah, poo in the pool, we think. Poo in the pool.
But yeah.
So that was the start of a fun weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And then Saturday.
Football gala. Yeah. So it's that time of year.
But at least the weather was good.
It was sunny, wasn't it? It was sunny.
The weather was good.
It was doable, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can bear it with a chair in the sunshine, it's fine. And then Saturday night, our parents had offered to have all the kids, so we all had our
In fact, mine volunteered to go with your kids, so we had an inadvertent night off.
Yeah, so we all had a night off from the kids, which was,
We had that thing, though, because we'd not actually planned it.
It's like, what do you do?
Yeah, and we sat there, and I was like, oh, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And, we were kind of in that mood of can't be arsed.
Yeah.
Sat on the sofa. But then you've got to go out. You've got a babysitter for now, haven't you?
You cannot not use
it. You can't not go out, can you? So we sat there till about 6:30, and then I said,
come on.
Right, we'll go to a restaurant on the road. And I got us in for 8:00, and we went. And we're finished at 9:00.
No, that's the thing, isn't it? That is the thing.
Because we're not getting loads. We just come out for a meal and, we weren't sitting drinking all night or anything. And the service, as always, is super quick because you've got no else to do with your evening.
If you had somewhere to be, you'd be sat there an hour
but the service was super quick. And then, we were like, and now it's 9:00 and now we're done. So, but we're nice to get a night off. Thanks, Mum and Dad.
Yeah, you're superstars. And then, to be fair, I've had a very relaxing weekend. We then had a girls' day out shopping on Sunday. So there's me, you, my eldest daughter Sophie, who's 18, and our mum had a lovely little tour around the shops.
Yeah, we did.
We were there till they shut, really, weren't we?
We did a full day. We did like a 10 till 5 on a Sunday, didn't we, of shopping?
Yeah.
But there's some shite in sales,
isn't
there? Oh,
it's horrific. I mean,
some absolute shit.
Some of the
stuff that I've seen in the sale this time that I'm pretty sure has been there for the last 5 years. Yeah. They just trot it back out of the warehouse at the back.
And there's always like rugs. I mean, there's loads of sixes and fours. I mean, there can't be that many people who are a size four.
No, well, that's all they have left, don't they? All
fours,
the normal
fours
sizes.
Fours and 20s, that's kind of what's. And if you're a size 8 shoe, then good for you.
If you're a size if you're a size 6 with a big foot, you must rock the sales.
Yeah. I know.
You must love it. I'd never buy anything full price if I were
size,
skinny with
size
a big foot.
Eight,
or fat with
bargains.
A little foot.
Yeah, because you can always go to go, oh, I like that. You go, they've got 3s and 8s.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So you've just got to be completely out of proportion.
Yeah.
And then you do well on the old sales, don't you?
Yeah, and then Tuesday night, we had a, it was a very belated birthday present of mine that Sophie had got me, and we went to the spa and had another girls' time.
Yeah, we did have another girls' night.
Yeah,
spa,
so that was lovely.
Yeah.
Another
reason. Well, so the wasted shaved legs from Friday
came in handy for Tuesday. Yeah. So
although,
it wasn't all lost.
Knowing my hair growth, Tuesday was about the limit before I started turning back into a yeti.
Yeah, we just couldn't rub up against you.
No, you have to keep your distance. If you'd have looked closely, it'd have been a disaster, but.
I mean, I never look at another woman's legs when I'm in the spa, so I wouldn't have a clue if you'd have had hairy legs or not.
I kept them underwater for the most part. But yeah, we just slopped
them
around.
Keeping you up.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I thought I'd contribute to some sort of bodily function, seeing as you normally burp or whatever, or sneeze or, give us a bit of yourself. She's trumped before today.
Thinking of the spa. It's just
the relaxation of the spa. Yeah. Tired. It's Friday night, isn't it? It's tiring week.
Spa has a voice like this.
Yes. Vocal fry.
Welcome to the spa. Are you the lead booker? Yes. Okay.
Right. It'd do your head in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And then the other bit of this week, which of course I'm very happy about because I'm out in front, is we've had a family Fitbit challenge going.
Yeah, we've all got a Fitbit.
So we've got Mum and Dad Fitbits.
Succumbed to the Fitbit.
And Louise got one. So there's me, Lou, and our Mum and Dad in a Fitbit challenge just Monday to Friday. I think there's 5 out 7 hours to go.
Oh, you're miles in front. I didn't even look today.
And
I should be walking while we're recording.
7,961 steps out in front.
Oh, I'll be fine. I'll just do a marathon while you're making tea.
You're in second place.
Yeah, I know.
Silver medal.
Silver. It's no gold.
We can't all be winners.
Yeah, you're bloody competitive spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I would never. I would never do 66,000 steps Monday to Friday ever. But knowing that we've had this Fitbit challenge on the go, I have walked everywhere imaginably possible.
Well, and the fact that I walked everywhere as well, but then every time I click back on it, you've done another pissing walk.
You kept sending me messages saying, sit down!
Freaking keep still, you're doing me nothing. I was like, yes, I've done a bit more, I'll catch her up, I'll close the gap. And then I go in it, and it says, Helen is out in front. And I'm like, oh, fuck off.
But unfortunately,
I think you've tied it to dog.
See, this is what happens. But I have not stopped walking. But yeah, my legs are killing.
maybe you'll be a size 6 with size 8 feet in no time. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, but yeah,
I've got the figure. I've got the perfect sail figure.
Honestly, my normal steps a day. If I didn't actively go out and try and get some steps in, I'm only about 6,000 because I sit at a desk. Yeah. So 6,000 to 7,000 is my average daily amount of steps.
Yeah.
I push it to 10,000 every day. So you get that buzz on your Fitbit and you get your 10,000 steps. But I've been doing like 16,000 steps a day. That ain't realistic. I could keep it up if it was a competition.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I wasn't as competitive as I am.
Yeah. Me too. Might have a sniff of winning some every now and again.
Like I say, second best. First the worst, second the best is the kids.
Yeah, second the one with the hairy legs. I think that'll just finish us off nicely for that section. S-I-S-T-E-R-S.
Here it is. Bum, ba, 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 ba.
Question of the week.
And this week it comes all the way from Santander in Spain.
Ooh.
It isn't voice recorded.
International question of the week.
And it comes from the
What's question of the week in Spanish?
Oh, I don't know.
Questions de semana. Semana, is that what semana week? I'm going to Google that while you're doing it, Mom.
Person who gave us a question could probably answer that for us if we get it wrong. But the question that's come from my wonderful friend Jessica is, what is the most embarrassing story about your family?
Oh, God.
I mean, I feel like she's got a bit of inside info from when we were younger. She's probably thinking I'm going to tell one of those, but I've got far too many embarrassing ones from adult life to even worry about those ones.
This is a tough one. Just to do it in Spanish. Pregunta de la semana.
There you go, for our Spanish.
For our one Spanish listener who speaks English anyway.
She's English but speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
So what is the most embarrassing story about your family? I mean, if you don't, for those of you that know me, I know I'm married to quite an embarrassing person anyway.
So when we're classing family, we're talking out of mum, dad, husbands, kids.
Yeah, that's kind of us.
Yeah.
I think one of my most embarrassing moments was whilst we were trying to expand our little family. And this is
favourite story.
Yeah, I was pregnant with Charlie, our middle child, and we went along to a parenting class.
Sweet.
I'd said to Marcus, let's go see what it's all about. It's been a while since I've done it, so let's, go get some info and, you might meet somebody. And anyway, so it was at the local hospital, at St. James Hospital. It was after work, and we were running late to get there in the first place, so we were having that whole argument.
Shocker,
in the car.
Max, yeah, is
late. Come on, we need to get there. We're going to be late. Oh my God, I can't move. He's like, no, it's fine. Totally super laid back. Gets there, runs in, and they hadn't started, but we were pretty much the last people in. And if you imagine, the midwife was sat, and then there was like a circle of people around her. So the two seats left were next to the midwife. So yeah, we were front and center. So we sat down, it was myself and then Max at the side of me. So I was actually sat next to the midwife and she did a bit of a spiel and talked about everything. And they said, right, I want us to go around the circle and tell us why you're here today.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Marcus sat next to the midwife. I wanted to turns to Marcus.
So it's a fairly obvious answer to be
and
fair,
looks at him and goes, so yourself? And he goes, first answer back is, oh, sorry, I won't listen. What did you say?
I won't listen.
So already I am fuming because yeah, everybody's staring.
Sorry, I won't listen.
Sorry, I won't listen. What you say? You're not at school. You're here for your own benefit. And she repeated the question. Sorry, what I said was, what would you like to get out of today? Max's reply was, I don't know. She told me I had to come. I mean, I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me. And every other guy in the room, you could see, was thinking, well, after that dickhead, I could say anything.
Yeah, and I yeah, so they all up the game.
Everybody, I just mumbled something about, you know, just wanting to catch, you know, get a, see how everything goes. Like, I've done it once, but blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Couldn't even, like, get my words up right now. And then they moved on, and this guy's like, oh, I'm just really interested to see what my wife's going to go through.
Oh, and he's going to rub her
thinking,
back and finger grips. Yeah,
you've just learned what not to say from him. So did this round the circle. Everybody says what they're saying. And she's like, right, I'm going to bring a video out. So she wheels out this video, puts it on, and it's basically a woman giving birth.
Yeah.
As we're watching the video, the dick who said that earlier... boom, faints. So, well, he didn't actually faint on the floor, but he fainted backwards, so his head was just hanging off the back of the chair. And I just turned to Max and said, be thankful that that happened, because that's what's everyone going to remember. And yeah. Originally, before that, it was your answer.
Yeah, he has overshadowed your stupidness.
Yeah, he has totally eclipsed your moment of idiocy. And, the guy woke up to the midwife in his face, basically going, are you okay? Are you okay? So... we broke for tea and biscuits, and I said, right, come on, we are going. And not. It was like a three-part class.
No.
I went, nah, we are never coming back here again. You embarrassed the life out of me, and we left. Oh. At the time, I was fuming, but it is one of my favourite stories to tell.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It was so embarrassing. I was mortified that was his answer. It was like I'd brought a three-year-old along.
Classic Marcus. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Sorry, what did you say? I wasn't listening.
He's probably looking at a bird out the window or something.
Just
no,
like trimmed, his mind had switched. He's like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, just nothing going on in there. A couple of tumbleweeds going across.
Yeah.
Right, so this is another husband-related one. Sorry, yeah. Boys, you're getting panned tonight.
Yeah.
I think the occasion was Mother's Day, maybe.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah,
it was like
yeah.
So. What's that? March time or something like that.
Yeah.
Mother's Day, isn't it? And so, obviously, I'd got a card and present. I was very organised,
yeah.
And we went round to mum and dad's to drop it off. And yeah. We went in there. I was like, "Hi, happy Mother's Day." Martin was lagging behind somewhere,
yeah. talking to dad.
Yeah, so not really clocked what was going on. So I gave mum a card and a present, and she opened it and she was like, oh, that's so lovely, and gave me a hug and everything. And then by this point, Martin had trundled into the room with dad and they were still talking away. And so she went up, she got up and hugged me, and she went over to Martin and she went, oh, thanks ever so much, Martin. And as she went in for the hug, I could see the fleeting panic in his eyes of, what have I missed here? What's happened? What's the hug? What have we done?
What do I
what's
need to
the
say?
Day? What's happening? So I saw him go, huh? And like go for the hug, and he just went, I think he was searching for a greeting of some sort and couldn't remember what birthday, if it was birthday, Mother's Day, whatever, but he came out with, Happy New Year.
Even if he just said happy birthday.
It was March.
Happy New Year, Julie.
And we all just like stopped and like started to laugh. And we were like, you had no idea
what
today was about.
To
and he was like, no, I didn't. It was
yeah,
just
happy,
like.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
He just like verbal diarrhea'd it out and just went, oh, Happy New Year, Julie. Oh, and then I was just like totally. What?
Yeah, for a long time afterwards, every time we
well,
saw
even
him.
Now, even now, on Mother's Day yeah. Now, we all go, Happy New Year, Matt. That's never left him, but it was an absolute classic. But it was the fear in his eyes of, holy shit, there is an occasion and I have no idea
yeah,
what it
the
is.
Panic of, I just need to come up with it.
Happy New Year! So yeah, I think that's one of his best moments.
Actually, I think one moment that could possibly top the and it's not even my own kid, it's your kid, that can top the Marcus story. I once when my youngest son Louise's son were small, I was off work. I was taking them to sort of some sort of messy play activity thing, and I pulled up in the car. And this man was walking along with his children, and this man was, you know, I think the correct small person.
Small person.
It was a small person. So it was, you know, about the same size as the boys, who at the time were 2 or 3. And I kind of thought to myself, oh, I wonder if they're going to notice.
Yeah.
Because kids do notice, don't they? Kids notice things.
Yeah, they do. So, well, and kids have probably got it right that they just point stuff out, they do. To be fair. Because
to a point. Well, so we get out the car, and I undoes Jake's car seat and stands him on the side of the path and then goes to get Leo. And as I'm coming around with Leo, Jake, your child, runs forward, and we're walking towards the door of to go into the centre, and you have to buzz to go in, and this man was waiting with his son. And Jake runs straight up to the guy, stands nose to nose with him, and with his hand, I don't know how to describe it, but...
He like wiped
it. He wiped his hand down the man's face as if he was blind to feel his face, felt his whole face, and then went, "Hello!" And I was like, "Oh my god!"
It was like, "Oh, was he about 3? Yeah, maybe 2."
But it was just that, "Oh shit!" And I went over and I said, "I think he likes you," and sort of like tried to brush it anyway. He just kind of laughed and went, "Oh yeah, don't worry about it." Thought it was over, went inside, they're doing the messy play, Jake's on one bit, Leo's on another, and I'm sort of floating between the two. Jake turns around to me and's going, Helen, look it! And he's pointing at the guy, and I'm going, okay, Jake. And the guy thankfully was like, don't worry, it happens all the time.
Yeah. I'm just amazed that he had a grown-up face on a smaller person.
But you know, when you're thinking, I really want to laugh on a cat. And I was like, all right, okay. And then I was like, this is even worse because it's not even my kid.
Yeah.
Apologize. I just remember ringing you after to me like, oh my god.
You're gonna guess what he's done to me.
Oh my god. But yeah, it was just the run up to him and the full hand on the face and hello. This is it. Who are you and what are you? But yeah, it was definitely a comedy
moment.
That was
a cringe
moment. It was embarrassing.
Thankfully,
the guy who was there would handled it like a pro, so it did make it slightly better.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we've got a million other embarrassing stories, and I'm sure they'll come out across the podcast. But
yeah, we probably have. Yeah, we've probably covered a few already.
I think they're pretty much the doozies.
They're the standout, aren't they? Stand out.
Hopefully you thought they were as funny as we do.
Hello!
S-I-S-T-E-R-S. So now Louise's esophagus has started playing a musical instrument.
Yeah, it starts to rumble. You know, like when you've had a drink and that bit goes on the way up. It's my turn this week, thank you.
Yeah, it is. You're on the bodily functions. But it's my favourite time of the week. It's Irks of the Week.
Irks of the Week.
Irks of the Week. Irks and funnies, because it's, majority of this week I think is funnies or just stuff that...
Just random
weird shit.
What do we call it of the week? Somewhat waffles?
I don't know. I've slept since then.
Yeah, I have. We came up with a decent name, didn't we? Warbles or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway. But yeah, waffles.
Rambles and something. I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, it didn't stick anyway.
You're the only one with an irk this week, although I'm pretty sure it'll cover me as well.
Yeah. So mine this week. Restaurants.
Restaurants.
Certain things in restaurants wind you up. So...
Well, anything involves people, to be fair, has the potential to wind
me up. Yeah, but... I think it's one of them things, isn't it, going out for a meal where actually it costs a bloody fortune.
Yeah, you're paying for
paying for a service, and sometimes you don't get any service, do you, at all? It depends where you go, let's face it.
Yeah,
you go. But in a lot of places, you know, you're paying a reasonable amount to go out. So, but it's small things that irritate me. So, first, rock hard butter.
When it's freezing cold and you can't
literally
put it on.
Rock hard butter.
Yeah.
And you're hungry and you've got your bread first, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you can't wait. And you try and do it, don't you?
And you end up with just one piece of
and it just, one hard piece of butter right in the middle, or it rips your bread to shreds.
Rips your bread to shreds. Yeah, I'm totally on board with this. It's
so annoying. Why the hell? It doesn't need to be refrigerated like that. As long as it's come out that day, room temperature's totally fine. Yeah. But that really, really pisses me off.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because it just ruins your whole start of your meal, right? So anything like pate.
Oh, do you know what? I didn't know that's what you were going to say, but that was my exact name thought. Are you going to say that they don't come in enough bread?
Ratio, yeah.
Ratio of bread, yeah. Totally with you.
They give you half a tub of pate and one little Melba toast.
Do you know what? I love thick. I'm thick on the pate. Thick on the pate. I don't scrimp. I go with a wedge of pate, and I still have half of it left.
Still have some left over. So anything like that you get in a ratio, a bread ratio. I just can't understand now. As a chef, you go, oh, I'll just give you that much pate and just that one little slice of bread.
Sometimes you get two, don't you?
You know, if I went into a restaurant and they gave me an equal portion, I'd be chuffed. Or if they brought it out and they said, if you need more bread, just let us know.
Yeah, like sometimes you get pate and there's a bread basket on the table, like you've got a bread roll and you think, well, I know I can...
That would make all the difference for me to go, if you need more bread,
absolute agreement there with you. Yeah, obviously, ratios? It was my thought. I didn't know that's what you were going to say.
It's blooming stupid.
Yeah, is there any other foods where your ratios are out? I can't think of any that they potentially do, but it might come to
me. No, it comes to but pate's a... Yeah. It's the standout.
It happens everywhere you go.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. I always get a mashed pie.
Yeah.
And then another one that really bugs me, service charges.
Yeah, when they automatically put it on your
automatically
bill.
Add it to the bill. Even when there's two of you.
Yeah.
And I think, hang on a minute. And they do it in some places where it's not all service. It's, some of it is your own. You know, like if you're in a bigger party of eight, but let's say you went to Nando's.
Yeah.
The servers don't do jack in there, do they? They sit you down.
Nothing.
And they put your plate in front of you. Yeah. You order your own food. They don't come back to pay.
You get your knives and forks,
you
get your sauce.
You get your own thing yourself. And they still whack a service charge on.
Do they really?
If there's a big group of you,
Jesus. Yeah, the group service charge thing annoys me. I always ask for it to take off because it should be at my discretion how much you tip.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, right?
I pay well for good service.
I do, yeah, exactly. Don't get me wrong. If someone does a really good job, I'll tip them. And if they do a really good job, I'll always go out of my way to find the boss and say, do you know what? They did a really good job today.
Me too. I've done it on loads of times, different occasions.
I have, even in places where it's been dead busy and they've obviously been short-staffed, so I've not expected an awful lot. And then they've got it all right and on time and they've been attentive and I've gone, do you know what, this is poorly staffed today, but that person over there has really stood up for you.
We had it once. I went to Liverpool recently for a friend's birthday and we were paying as a group, and as always it was £15 or something each, and a quid for tip. So nearly everybody had card because nobody has cash these days, do they?
Yeah.
So I think there was two of us paying with cash and the other nine had to pay on card.
Yeah.
So we went round and everybody, apart from one who just, I think they had less drinks, was paying the same amount on card. So we went round, did each card from everybody, and I was like, cash. And at the end, he said to me, oh, you're still short. He had a calculator and I went, well, unless somebody's not paid, then that's not, how many receipts have you got? And he was like, I've got, say if there's nine people, I've got eight receipts. I was like, well, someone's not paid then. And everybody was like, well, I've paid. And he kept going and going, and I'd asked him to take the service charge off. And I was like, no, everybody's paid. Next thing, he found the extra receipt in his pocket, and I said, well, he was trying to get his money back for the service charge there to get us to pay extra money.
Yeah, yeah.
So because we'd taken the service charge off, he'd obviously seen his backside.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And was trying to get the... But yeah, it was... And then, because he'd done that, when we paid, I think I left about £3 on the table as a whole group. And thought, sod you, it's not happening.
But, well, splitting the bill's another thing in it now.
Oh, God,
It used to be a real nightmare, didn't it? When it was cash only and all that sort of stuff. But even some places are funny now about splitting it with the card machine, because I just think everybody pays on card, everybody pays with Apple Pay.
Split it in general does my head in, because I am generally the type of person that says, just split it equal. I don't care. Sometimes I'm going to win and sometimes I'm going to lose.
Yeah, and I don't booze and I'm
like
that.
I very rarely do, so I'm like, no, it's fine, and, you know, I don't mind. I don't look at what I've paid. I don't look at what you've paid. I don't even think about that.
Yeah.
But some people you go for tea with and they will to the penny.
Yeah.
And I think,
really? Although I draw the line at, you know, like going out and paying for three bottles of wine for two piss heads at the end.
Yeah, that's different. But you know, within reason, generally, what you're owed and what you're not. But
yeah, splitting the bill. And so another bit for restaurants for me, when you're in a two, this happens more. They're like, they have two tables and they have them really close together.
Oh, God, I hate that.
It's places like Ask Do It.
Yeah.
And they sit you down.
And you're literally having your meal with somebody else.
You'd like, you can hear their conversation.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay to go for a night out. And I want to get in somewhere, don't get me wrong.
But it's when, and then when you get up to go for a wee and you have to do the slink, you literally, you can't decide whether you're going to go, your butt's going to go slinking past their table.
Yeah.
Or you turn around and you face them and go,
Your ass is in the paella as you're going past. But like, some of them just, like, if you knocked the table a little bit, you'd be together, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's so awkward.
It is really awkward.
I really hate those sorts of tables. No, I don't want to pay for my meal in somewhere like that.
I also get distracted. Yeah. So they're talking about something that sounds interesting. And I'm like, just 1 minute.
Or when they ask a question and you know the answer.
Yeah. And you want to go, well, actually.
Yeah, I have done it a couple of times, though. I have done it. I can't hold it in. Not necessarily in a restaurant, but there's been places where I've heard somebody going, you know, he's in that film, you know.
Yeah, it's so-and-so.
Yeah, and I'll go. Do you want me to help out?
Yeah.
Because I can't help myself. But then you get some people looking at you like, shite, because you've chipped in.
Yeah.
Like them girls at Alton Towers when I could see that they'd
not picked
the tickets up. They were in the wrong queue.
I was trying to help
them because they were in the wrong queue.
Yeah.
And I stood there for 5 minutes and thought, oh, do I let them get to the front and then realise and then be like, have to wait in a queue again and be another half an hour getting in. So I literally tapped her and went, you're in the wrong queue for tickets, you'll have to go over there first. And she's like, she just looked at me, didn't she?
All right. Like, you just told her that she'd had, you got into...
A shit in her handbag on.
Yeah. And then I did say it out loud. I went, are you welcome?
Yeah.
She would have just let you stand in the queue, shall we? And her mates, like, all looked a bit scared and went, oh, she's going to kick off.
There's a feisty old woman behind us.
We just think, I'm trying to help you out. And then, you know, we know you're going to come and join your friends back in the queue.
So
we're going to
let you do
it.
That, yeah? Yeah, I've got off topic of restaurants,
I'm with you on the restaurant thing.
There's so many, and
it's hard to find a restaurant that ticks all the boxes.
And it is lovely when you do, because I love coming out and going, do you know, that was really good, the service was ace, and I've been to a few, but they've been expensive ones, and you'd expect it, and then you get the odd surprise in a Frankie and Benny's or something like that, and I think that's when it's really nice. Up your game some places, you know, it's all these little things. Missing out on cutlery, they bring you main and they've took your starter already and they've took your knife and fork and they're in another one and you have to ask and all that sort of shit. That's the stuff that winds me up.
S-I-S-T-E-R-S. So this isn't an irk and it isn't really a funny, it's just a syndrome that we both have.
Syndrome?
It's a fear that we both suffer with. And it's a fear of certain animals.
Yeah.
Particularly birds.
Birds. Hate them.
Absolutely petrified of birds. I don't mean... I mean, if a robin comes near me, I'm all right with that. I can, you know, I can deal with a
robin.
Depends
on here, but yeah.
But yeah, we both have an absolute... I don't know what the word is that I'm thinking of. But...
What?
It's just... It's debilitating when... birds are around.
They just freak me out. The whole thing. Being pecked, feathers, them claw-like feet.
Yeah, the feet are sick.
And the thought of a wing hitting my hair is just freaking...
Well, a wing did hit me and I didn't even know it was a wing. when I was pregnant and on the beach in Cornwall, the guys were down at the sea paddling and bodyboarding. And so all of a sudden something hit me. And I thought, someone just kicked a football and hit me. And when I opened my eyes, it was a giant seagull. And
seagulls are the worst.
And its wing was flapping into me. And I've never, as an 8-month pregnant woman, shot up as fast as, I'm surprised I didn't give birth and ran away screaming. And it was just that,
I refuse to eat at the beach because I'm so petrified.
So scared.
Because they don't give a shit. Seagulls are like just like the gangsters of the bird world, yeah, aren't they?
They have rats with wings, birds. They're awful.
They are, but seagulls have got it down on there. They look
mafia.
At you. Yeah, they
mafia
are.
Birds, yeah.
They are, and they swoop down, don't they? They don't give a rats, and they'll just take it out of your hand. Yeah. No problem at all.
But they sense it. They sense the fear in us.
Birds know my fear, absolutely.
It's happened a few times. I mean, do you remember when we went to York and stayed over that time? We went to the theatre.
Yeah.
And we decided to walk back from the theatre. And just in the middle of the road was a goose.
Well, in York, just there's a bit where a load of rogue geese just live, don't they? The river, which
goose,
is fair enough. But
It was following it. It was new what was happening and was in the middle of the road, wings spread.
Yeah,
giving it big.
It did the full flap, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did the full
flap. Come on then.
Yeah, it did. We were literally across the road.
We were awful. Run, go around it. Sick.
Well, I had my own goose trauma. We went out for a family day out with Martin's family at Forbidden Corner and I didn't see it at first. We parked the car and his mum had got a packed lunch, and as we got the packed lunch out of the car, as we were taking it out of the boot, this giant white neck just appeared into the boot, started pecking into the packed lunch. I shit my pants. I left Jake. I just ran. Just left him. It was awful.
Eat my child!
Up the other side of the I was at the other side of the car park, and then I was conscious. Honestly, we went round that, and I was conscious of it all day. The whole time we were at Forbidden Corner, I had one eye out for this bird. Anyway, we took a picnic, and the picnic bit was outside of the place. And when we come out, there was obviously this goose on the loose. So I made Martin usher it into this field behind a fence.
Oh.
And then there were loads of ducks as well. So on the picnic bench,
I kind of caught with ducks.
Well, even then, but because they all knew I was panicking, they just kept kicking my ankles and stuff so that I'd think it was a...
So I
had to sit on the picnic table with my feet on the bench.
Oh, that's so mean.
Because I was panicked that I was going to get pecked by
it's
a bird.
It's sickening, isn't it? It's such a sickening
And then eventually
feeling.
This freaking goose came out and I just shot off. I just left it. I had to just left.
But they are sad to winding us up because they've done it at the safari park before.
Mm.
Before we had all the kids and I think we just had the small one. And we went, all of us in the car together, and they were winding the window down.
It's electric windowing, so we'll be driving
the
through
EU?
The EU section.
There's nothing you can do. There was nowhere to go. It was like, pending, and there's a big EU button.
Yeah, we just had to like keep driving, and all of a sudden they go... with the window, and I'd literally shot over to the other side of the car, honestly. And I've also got a picture somewhere of me and Matt. We were at some zoo place, some farm park thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying close attention. And there's a picture of me there's an emu behind me, and it's about a second before it started eating my rucksack. Pecking at my rucksack.
Like a moment in Jurassic Park when it's an emu.
Them emu type things. Are like they're like dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah,
they're like dinosaurs. They're awful.
Oh,
it was pecking at my rucksack. I was like, oh my god, this is horrendous.
I once tried to get over my fear. But that story starts with I didn't know. I came home from work and I opened, it was in our old house, and I opened the door, walked in, looked to the left, and there was a giant aviary, and it was with a parrot inside.
Oh my god!
And I remember I rang Max and I was like, "Why is there a bird in the house?" And he said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. I promised so and so from work that we'd watch his parrot for a week."
Oh my! I've got to remember that.
Yeah, I felt sick, so it was just me and this bird in the house. I was freaked out, so I had the living. I couldn't go in the living room knowing it was there. And a couple of days in, obviously got used to it being in the cage, and he was like, shall I get it out? And I was like, no, don't get it out for the love of God. And he was like, you need to get over your fear. So we got it out and it seemed really placid. Mm. And, you know, like, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm being a bit ridiculous. It was quite funny. It used to swear and stuff. So he put it on my arm and I was like, okay, I'm dealing with this. And then whilst I wasn't looking, he'd walked out the room and gone in the kitchen. I didn't move and it started to sidestep up my arm.
Oh my gosh.
I started to apply it, I could swallow, that's it, it feels it. And it was getting closer to my shoulder, and I was going, Marcus! I didn't want to startle it, so I was going, Marcus! Marcus!
Is it trying to get on your shoulder like a pirate?
And all I'm thinking is, it's going to peck my eyes out, it's going to peck my eyes out. She's getting closer to my shoulder, and by the time he came in, I was silently crying. Because I didn't move. Because if I cried out loud, it would know. So I was just going, oh, God. And when he came back and I was like, I knew it. He took it away and he thought it was hilarious. But no, I've got a vague recollection
of you having that awful thing in your house.
I tried my hardest to get over my fear. And I think it just made it worse, to be honest.
Awful. Yeah. I feel a bit on edge now. I'm thinking about birds because we've been talking about them that long.
Oh, no, it was horrific. But yeah, we have a fair birds. And then...
Tell them what a cracker!
And then we've had a couple of sheep incidents as well.
Oh, we have, yeah.
But I don't find them as scary as birds.
When they run fire.
You don't come into contact with them as often. I mean, you particularly.
I got freaking chased onto a rock. I've never got over that.
We were with Mum and Dad when we were kids. I must have been... How old were you at the time? Early teens?
No, about 10, 11, maybe.
And we'd gone camping and Dad decided to take us on this walk. Awful. Walking through the field.
This is traumatic for me, this, thinking about it. I think I've got deep-seated fears around this.
And a ram decided to take a liking to us. And we basically had to leg it because it was coming thick and fast towards us.
Mm.
And I just remember Dad throwing me up onto the top of this thing, him climbing up after me, and you and Mum being like, we can't get up!
I was on a low rock and it just stood there staring at me.
And you were going, pull me up!
I was crying. Full on crying. I was shitting my pants.
I was laughing. I mean, but I was in there. I was on safe ground, so... I was laughing at your trauma. But then it came back to bite me in the ass when we went for a run. And the two sheep were in the road.
No, but what made me laugh was when we ran down the hill,
they were up that side alley, and we clocked them, didn't we?
And thought... Those are two loose sheep. And
where,
we were like,
where did they come from?
Yeah, we were like, shit. And they like eyeballed us, didn't they? Yeah. Like, victims. Yeah. And they were down an alley, so we ran past them. But then on the way back up the hill,
they were in the road.
They'd got out onto the main road by that point, and we had to run past them. And as we were running, they started to jog with us a little bit, didn't they? And I just didn't even look back, mate. I didn't look. I was just like, oh, God. I think that's the fastest time I've ever run up that hill.
It's a big hill as well. Oh, my God, it's coming.
I just, I didn't look back. And it was only about, after about 5 minutes that I looked back to see that they weren't tailing us. Because the fear is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Fear is just unbelievable. And sheep are like fluffy. And when you're a kid, you think, oh, sheep. Nah.
Lambs are cute, but giant sheep, nah.
Nah, they've got hate in their eyes, haven't they?
They have. But yeah, we've got a weird thing with birds and a little bit with sheep as well.
Well, just any old animals are not really my bag.
Nah. I mean, I like dogs, but that's about the end of it. But yeah, that's the wrap up for the animals. And just to finish off this week, it was something that we touched on last week.
Oh, yeah.
That is our little foray into a ballroom and Latin career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When was this? Before I had Jake, wasn't it?
Yeah, so as a kid, I did ballroom and Latin dancing.
Plus a bit of step, kick, clap, disco. Which
I've got the medals and
she can still do a full routine if you need her to. And she also thinks she can do Irish dancing if she's had a few, just so you know.
But that's a different, that's a tale for another day. That's another string to my bow. Let's not get them all out in one go. And then as we got older, I thought, oh, do you know what? I'd actually quite like to go back and do a bit more ballroom and Latin.
Yeah.
And Louise said, yeah, I've always wanted to have a go at it. Let's go have a go. So we joined this class.
Yeah, we did.
And we were the youngest people there by about 40
years. No, there was another two young girls who we got on with, weren't there?
Yeah,
they were coupled up as well.
Yeah, but everybody else was...
Oh, yeah, they were nice.
Or older.
Yeah.
But we also had names for everybody as well.
Yeah, we did. We had names for everybody in the class. So we have Grandma and Grandad because they were a sweet old couple.
Yeah.
We had the sexuals.
The sexuals who just looked like they were like totally into it the
whole
time.
They were proper
like,
dirty
waltzers. There was Mum, because from behind she looked exactly like our mum with the mum bob.
Mum bob, yeah.
Yeah, but we did love it. And we were great drivers, weren't we?
Helen was the boy and I was the girl.
I was the lead.
Helen was the lead. It was a shocker. In a competitive competition. Yeah, and we learned, what did we learn? We learned cha-cha-cha.
Jive. Foxtrot.
Quick step.
Yeah, rumba.
Waltz.
Yeah, we were, you know.
We were just starting to learn, well, we were just starting to do tango and foxtrot by the time we jacked it in.
But yeah, I think it would definitely help us if we got a call up for Strictly, I'm just
saying.
Yeah,
it would, yeah, we've got some previous dance experience. And the pinnacle of our career was that we went and did a jive on the dance floor at Blackpool Tower, didn't we?
We did. We did. We jived just, in the ballroom. We went on afternoon.
Not in any competition or anything like that.
Didn't
just
tell
random.
Them that. We could have let them make up their own mind when and how we did
just
it.
Just randomly on a Saturday afternoon or whatever it was.
When they have the organ guy
and there's loads of people out doing their dances. We went, right, let's go do it. So that's my ballroom claim to fame, was that we'd done a jive on
So yeah, when we say ballroom and Latin career, it was brief.
And we didn't actually enter any competitions, but we can crack out a jive.
Yeah.
At a family wedding.
Yeah.
After a drink or two if we need to.
So yeah. We're available for birthdays.
Strictly call us.
So thank you everybody for listening again to Sisters of No Mercy.
Indeed.
Mercy.
I got me begging you for mercy.
Why won't you believe
me?
Birdseed.
Oh God, don't shout birdseed. They'll be knocking up bloody window.
But yeah, enjoy your weekends and
subscribe, share. Do some stuff on Twitter. We got some retweets this week on Twitter. And we got 1,000 listens. We didn't mention that at the beginning, so thank you, because we've hit 1,000 listens, which is fantastic news.
Yeah,
so thank
growing.
You very much, and that's why we keep making them.
And we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.